The Red Nation interview series is brought to you by Derby Star Canada. Visit derbystar.ca and see specialty soccer balls designed with development in mind for all ages. Play soccer with quality like the German and Dutch at derbystar.ca.
You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Botcher, and earlier today I had the chance to speak with Jeb Brofsky of the Montreal Impact. In this interview, Jeb and I discuss his thoughts on the upcoming MLS campaign for the Impact, his experiences living and playing professional soccer in Vancouver and Montreal, his desire to play for Canada at the international level, and his work with his nonprofit organization, Peace Pandemic. And now, Jeb Brofsky. So, Jeb, you and your Impact teammates have been back in Montreal for about a week now. How has training camp gone so far?
I think it's gone very well. It's been very intense. A lot of fitness just to get the legs back under us. But I think every guy has come in with a good attitude, a good base for fitness level, and I think we're going in the right direction.
It's obviously early days so far with respect to playing under new head coach Frank Kloppas, but what are some of the differences you've observed so far between Frank and Marco Schellebaum?
Well, I think right off the bat we've started to work tactically on some movements going forward that I think Frank has in mind, especially with outside backs getting forward, checking in the middle, and just some combination play that I think once we get down in the beginning of the season, the beginning of preseason, it's better. And so that's the main difference, I think, so far. Obviously, everyone's getting a feel for everybody, and we're getting back into it. But I think Frank's done a very good job so far of coming in and, giving each session sort of a, there's 3 points each session that hopefully you guys take away from it. And I think it's been very on point.
Now that you've had some time to reflect upon last season, what do you think Montreal needs to do to be better in 2014 and to make it back to the playoffs and then get beyond that first round?
Well, I think, obviously, consistency throughout the season is the number one thing. We look at the beginning of the season last year, and we started out very well. But in the last half of the season, I think the points just started to fall away from us a little bit. So consistency is number one. Number two is not letting as many goals in. For our defense, I think we gave up too many goals, especially, three-four goal games that just shouldn't happen. If you look at the best teams in Major League Soccer, they're not giving up a lot of goals. So that's number two thing. And number three thing is just making sure that every guy is focusing every day, and coming to training willing to work, because it's easy in a 10-month season to get a little lethargic at the end of the season, and maybe that's why good teams, they always stay physically fit. They stay up for 10 months, and that's why you see the Kansas Cities and the Houstons, and those teams are always pushing for the top, because they've perfected that.
Yeah, a lot of attention has been given to the fact that Montreal came out gangbusters in 2013 and practically unbeatable, but struggled down the stretch and went into the MLS playoffs in a somewhat muted form. As someone on the inside of that experience, what do you think were the reasons for that? Was it competing, in both, the league and also cup competitions, or, what are your thoughts?
I certainly think that had something to do with it. Balancing, it was, the organization's first kind of experience, I think, balancing those three competitions, getting guys, the depth of guys into matches and high intensity matches. Obviously, that's something that we all learn from. So that's maybe one factor. Another factor, could also be that we changed a little bit tactically in the middle of the season. I think Marco had some ideas that he was bouncing around the team, that left a lot of questions in some guys' heads of what to do, what's expected of them, and maybe that lack of communication was a factor, but ultimately it's, you know, it's 11 guys on the field, and you have to do your thing when you're on there, and in the end.
Fellow defender Matteo Ferrari recently had some pointed remarks about the club, stating that the current incarnation of the roster is not as good as last year's team. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on his comments?
Well, obviously, I don't know if you guys have spoken much with the Italians, but when they start to speak English, sometimes their English isn't always on point. But I know what Matteo meant. You know, Matteo obviously is a very candid person. You know, and he always has the best of intentions behind things. So, you know, he wasn't saying that we have a poor team. But, you know, I think he does have some worries that he wanted to vocalize, and that's his way of vocalizing them. But in my opinion, we have a young group of guys who are, you know, ready to work. And to be honest, that's almost more dangerous than, you know, a lot of things in this league, because if you have that hunger right off the bat, that's how we caught teams last year. And I think we have a very strong squad. You know, if we can add a piece or two here or there, it can always help the team. But, I don't have much more to say about what Matteo said, but I can only imagine that he said it with the best intentions.
In addition to making the MLS playoffs for the first time last season, the Impact also won the Canadian Championship Tournament for the first time as an MLS club, while defeating rival Canadian club and defending champions Toronto FC in a pretty spectacular fashion. With the rivalry with TFC and the Canadian Championship in mind, what are your thoughts on how Toronto has upgraded its roster over the past offseason?
Well, I think it's exciting for the league. Number one, I think it's exciting for, you know, Canadian soccer that they are bringing a lot of these big name guys in. But you know, it's all good and well on paper, you know, and we're going to see, you know, who shows up, I guess, when the 90 minutes start. But it's a good promo for the league, and it's good that you know, the rivalry is still obviously going to be very, very alive. And so we're looking forward to that matchup, you know, at BMO Field and also back here at Stade Saputo. So I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to get to play against, you know, high-caliber guys like Defoe and Bradley.
You played in Vancouver for your rookie season and are now entering your third season with Montreal. Given that you've now spent a good chunk of your adult life in Canada, you know, are you feeling like an honorary Canadian yet?
I am, yes, I certainly am. The maple syrup is running through my veins. You know, I might become Canadian before we know it.
In making the move from the Canadian West Coast to Quebec, you traded one exceptional city for another, with there being significant differences in lifestyle and culture between Vancouver and Montreal. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer one over the other, or do you just appreciate each for what they have to offer?
Yeah, I think that's the best way of putting it. You have to appreciate the city for what, you know, for what it is and what it brings. It's almost like comparing, you know, LA and Boston. It just, you can't really make comparisons, but you love both places. And you know, I left a part of my heart in Vancouver, that's for sure. But my new home is Montreal, and I'm getting to love it more and more every single day.
Now, speaking of apple pie and maple syrup, you're quite active on Twitter. And speaking of Canada, you recently tweeted, "No disrespect to apple pie, but I now have maple running through my veins. #Canadian men's national team adopted home. Let's do it." I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that tweet and whether or not there's been any communication between you and the Canadian Soccer Association.
We are now exploring our options of, you know, residency options and nationalization options. So, yes, I am seeking those, and we'll see going forward what the process is like.
Do you follow the Canadian team closely and the new head coach, Benito Floro? And, you know, is that an exciting thing that you see going on there?
I think it's very exciting, you know, especially being in Canada. For the past few years, I've noticed kind of a movement and a shift, and talking with Patrice, you know, and guys who have been in the national team, you know, they're certainly excited about where the country is going, and hopefully, you know, come the next World Cup, you know, Canada's really pushing for a spot.
In reading another interview with you, I learned that your favorite dish is a Chipotle burrito. In 2 years in Montreal, have you developed a taste for poutine, or is that off limits for you as a professional football player?
You know, it's a very rich dish, but I'll enjoy it maybe once a year. But no, Chipotle is where my heart is back home in Colorado, and it kills me that it's not in Montreal, but I'm making do with what I have.
It's here in Toronto, so if you can, you can stop up.
Yeah, trust me, I've stopped in a couple times in Toronto.
Now, now speaking of food with beans, a previous interview that I did with Eduardo Sabrango, I asked him what the secret to his longevity was, and he said beans and rice. Now, another interesting tweet that I recently saw from you was, you know, you said, my fitness inspiration T-shirt, thanks to the Montreal Impact, Sabrango number 16, what a legend. Are you hoping to have a career as long as Edward Sabrango did? And, you know, did he give you any secrets as to, you know, how to stay effective and physically fit into your late 30s?
Oh, well, you know, I think any athlete, any guy in this league could hope to be playing at Eddie Sabrango's age, or even, you know, that fit at that age. You know, he's a guy that showed up every day ready to work. He's always pushing fitness-wise, you know, he's always at the front. So obviously that's an inspiration just as a human being. You know, you see him at his age doing what he's doing. You know it's possible. You know that that's what you should strive for. And, yeah, I certainly asked him for some tips, and he certainly only has rice and beans to tell me, which doesn't give me much. But, no, I think he was just a professional all around in his life, and you know, his training regimen, and hopefully that's something that I can take with my career, and I will be playing at his age.
You are a player and a person with a strong sense of social awareness, and you started a nonprofit foundation, Peace Pandemic, while you were still in college. For those that are not aware of Peace Pandemic, I'm wondering, you know, if you could talk a little bit about the goals of the foundation and maybe some of the recent developments with Peace Pandemic and how that played out over your off season.
Yeah, so Peace Pandemic is my foundation that we focus on ending violence against women through soccer. So we go to third world countries and work with underprivileged kids, a lot of the times orphans, and my wife and I will train the boys and the girls, and then we'll have you know, talking sessions after with their local you know, mothers, fathers, leaders, community leaders. And we'll just kind of have a candid conversation and answer any questions that they have. And then, you know, it's just one of our passions that we go around the world and do. And we donate a lot of clothes, a lot of cleats, balls. We give each kid a T-shirt and a ball who participates. And a lot of the times we're in slums, so we ended up, you know, starting with a training session with 50 kids and end up with about 200 at the end of this training session. So it's very fun. It's always good to get, you know, to get away a little bit and do some good in the world when you have the time. And so my wife and I do that. And this past year we created a volunteer program where, you know, we can send people all around the world that we've been throughout the year while, you know, I'm in the season and my wife is working, so we can't go until the end of the season. We've sent two volunteers already to Guatemala, and we're looking to send more this summer. So that's an exciting development, and we're also trying to partner with North American youth soccer clubs, not only for volunteer options, but just to open the North American kids up to what's going on in the world, you know, and to be very grateful for what they have and just be a little bit more cultured. So it's kind of a working project, but I'm excited where it's going, and I'm glad that my wife is there to help me with it.
All right, we've already spoken about you know, burritos and poutine. I want to end off this interview with one more fun set of questions. I'll often ask interview subjects with the World Cup in Brazil coming up who their pick is for winning that competition and why. And with you, I'm going to ask you that. I also know that you have an event coming up with the Super Bowl that has a charity component, and that's a pretty big deal for you. So I'm going to ask you for your Super Bowl pick and why as well.
Okay. All right. Well, for the World Cup, I'm going to have to say I'm just, you know, since my buddy Matt Beisler is a good friend of mine, I'm going to go with the United States. I hope they win it. And for the Super Bowl, my Denver Broncos, they're gonna take it unless Manning's arm falls off for some reason. And yeah, so the Super Bowl party is we're putting it on at a local bar downtown Montreal that you know, has agreed to basically rent out the entire place for us for this event, and we're going to benefit the old brewery Mission down here in Montreal because it's, you know, very cold. You know, a lot of homeless people are on the streets and need food, need warmth and shelter. So I think it was a win-win for everybody. It was a kind of a no-brainer that we bring everyone together. You know, my Jedi Knights, the loyal fan base I've accumulated here, they put everything in order. They're going to collect canned foods, warm clothes. We're going to take that over after the game and hopefully celebrate a Broncos win.
Jeb, thanks very much. A real pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.